Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The National Academy of Sciences says the Bush administration may make air pollution in the U.S. worse by easing clean air rules for aging factories in America, or it may not. This report, requested by Congress, is suggesting that poor record-keeping by the Environmental Protection Agency makes it impossible to tell either way. A new survey finds 30% of South Africa's pregnant women are infected with HIV, and although that sounds like a bleak report, officials say they consider it actually encouraging because the survey by South Africa's health department finds little increase in the numbers from 2004. The health minister says it is a sign the number of new infections may be leveling off, though he adds far more has to be done. The research also found a fractional decrease in the number of teenagers with the virus that causes AIDS. South Africa has the world's largest number of HIV-positive people, with an estimated 5.5 million. Watergate lawyer Robert Mardian has died. He was an assistant U.S. Attorney General in the Nixon administration. But as a lawyer for President Nixon's committee to reelect the president, Mardian was accused of helping conceal the Nixon administration's involvement in the break-in and attempted bugging of Democratic Party offices at the Watergate complex in 1972. Mardian was among seven indicted presidential associates, including White House aides H.R. Haldeman and John Ehrlichman, and former Nixon lawyer Charles Colson. Mardian denied any involvement, and his conviction later was overturned on appeal. Mardian died of cancer at his home in California at age 82. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says a quick ceasefire in the Middle East would amount to a false promise ahead of a weekend trip to the region. Rice says she'll talk to Middle East leaders, but not Hezbollah or Syria. Rice says Syria, quote, knows what it needs to do, and Hezbollah is the source of the problem. Columns of Israeli tanks and troop carriers, meanwhile, lined up on the Lebanese border, Israel preparing for what it calls a limited ground push. Hezbollah rockets falling on Israel wounded at least five people in Haifa today. Officials in New York and St. Louis trying to make sure no one dies because they don't have air conditioning as a heat wave lingers. Both cities have day-long blackouts. 25,000 customers affected in New York and St. Louis. The number is 10 times that. This is Air America Radio News.
about having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Right in my day.
Hey, good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 7 past the hour. We have in mind for tonight's program an abundance of phone calls. This has been a grim week, and if you would like to comment on the events that that occurred this week from whatever position, We welcome your calls. The number here is 866-303-2270. I've noticed in the past several days that a few right-wingers are trying, a few conservatives are trying to challenge the ideas put out on this program by calling this program. So far, I don't think we've had anybody on who has been able to last longer than a couple of minutes or a few seconds, unless I just sit back and indulge them, you know, like that. Who was that guy? Was that from Phoenix the other night, Kathy? A crazy man that, what was his bottom line? I'm a what? Oh, an atheist. Kept calling me an atheist. Like, okay, don't throw me in that briar patch now, you know. But anyway, so any of you right-wingers who... or you conservatives, Bush supporters, whatever, you know the drill. If there's anything about this degenerate old bastard in the White House that you can defend, we'd love to hear the defense. As long as you can carry on a conversation without just, you know, being a nutball, because then you're gone.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to bring back Bughouse Square on Friday night sometime.
Well, you got to be quick on the draw for that, and.
Yeah, well, I know it'd be a challenge to our folks in New York, but they just have to. Pop some no-dos.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, we'll think about it. As the program signed off the other night, I got an email from Karen. And, well, her full name's Karen Stern, and I give her full name because I want you to go to her website, Virgin Mirth. Virgin Mirth, MIRTH.com. VirginMirth.com. Karen is a singer-songwriter, but she sent this in, and this was regarding a question I had asked sometime, I don't know, I think last week, Kathy, this week just passed, but I brought up whether or not anybody was listening, you know, if you wished you were anywhere else in time but here. Remember, you think back across the spectrum of history, you know. Are things too bizarre now? Would you rather be someplace else? Now, when you look at that in a certain way, every period in world history has had its real downside. But it was just an interesting question to me, because sometimes I get that feeling like, oh man, I'd rather have lived in blank, 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 you know, whatever it is. So Karen wrote in. She says, regarding your question, don't you wish you were anywhere else in time but here? Karen writes, I would almost rather be living in Europe during the Black Plague, in Russia in the age of Vlad the Impaler, or in China being terrorized by Genghis Khan than be a spectator at this horror show. There's long been psychos, killers, degenerates, etc., who've co-opted power in the world, but they've never had access to all these wonderful fruits of progress like nuclear, chemical, biological, and microwave weapons. As far as I'm concerned, technology run amok may be at the root of our problems. New and insidious forms of pollution are burning out the parts of the brain that are able to feel empathy. I don't know if I'll be around long enough to hear someone blow that whistle, but I sure hope I am. Karen Stern. And go to her website, Virgin Mirth. You gotta like that, virginmirth.com. It's a good one. Thanks, Karen.
Even before you read that, I was thinking, I'd like to go back and see the original Crusades, just to compare and contrast. You know, how different could it be?
Oh, Kathy, you're starting to lose it. You got to go back to school and get out of this business. You really do. You've got to go back to school. Jesus. Which probably she soon will. Fred writes this, who lives outside of Detroit. Dear Michael, listen to you just about every night except those nights when I am full, just full to the brim with about more crap from the hooligans in power than I'm able to process. I bet you have those nights when you are full but have to go on the air anyway. I saw Condoleezza Rice today talking on C-SPAN. There's something seriously wrong with that woman. I'm unable to put my finger on it, but I swear I saw unbalance or something in her face, her eyes, her gestures. She's a very, very strange lady. It would be refreshing if one night you could spend a few minutes talking about some of these background players who are doing their part to hijack our republic. We hear reams about Bush and Cheney, a little Karl Rove here and there, and, of course, Rumsfeld. How about throwing some Rice into the mix? Watch your back. Fred, outside of Detroit. I don't know what to say about Condoleezza Rice. She is not a major player in the Bush crime family. She's there for window dressing, and I don't mean because she's a black female. That's part of it, of course, for Bush. But for the neoconservatives, Condoleezza Rice happened to have been an intellectual expert, not a real-world expert, but an intellectual expert on, so I've been told, on issues pertaining to the Cold War, the global struggle between the Soviet Union and the American Union, so to speak. And she understood the strategies and the efforts made by the key players in that. That was her, I believe that was her field of expertise, was Soviet-U.S. relations and everything that went with that. She's in way over her head. Where, in my opinion, strictly, well, hell yes, my opinion, I'm saying it. She's in way over her head where it concerns the Middle East and the horrors that are being created, not as a result of failed diplomacy. That's usually what happens. You know, State Department can't cope. Defense Department steps in and starts killing people. In Condoleezza Rice's case, it's just reverse. Well, it's even worse in reverse. Condoleezza Rice has zero say about U.S. foreign policy, which is astonishing. Because that's what the Secretary of State is, the foreign minister. That's what, you know, our relations regarding other countries, how those relations play out in a sane administration would be determined by the office of the Secretary of State, our foreign minister. But that's not, we're not in a sane situation. Honest to Christ, folks, we are in a crazed, crazy situation. Condoleezza Rice's role is to do what she's told, absolutely and unequivocally do what she's told. The one time she stepped out and said, well, we made some mistakes, thousands of mistakes in Iraq, she was taken to the woodshed by the white men. Bush took her to the woodshed, Cheney took her to the woodshed, and of course Rumsfeld took her to the woodshed. And you can imagine what those conversations were like, right? The white males took the black female to the woodshed and said, listen, no more of that. No more of that. And there has been no more of that. Now, Rice is obviously right now is a magnet for criticism, especially in what she said the other day, that she wasn't going to go to the Middle East as a peace envoy. Isn't that a joke? Until Israel had enough, a little more time to bomb and blow to pieces the Lebanese people. Just murder them, hundreds of them. Just slaughter them, destroy their bridges, dams, power plants, their buildings, their cities. Just blow it to pieces, and then I'll go over. Now, if that's a statement of a rational Secretary of State, or a Secretary of State who has any control whatsoever within a government, I'm sorry, it is not. So Fred, outside of Detroit, is right when he says there's something seriously wrong with that woman. I would imagine that Condoleezza Rice does have some sort of heart and soul, unlike other people in the Bush crime family. And In maintaining her, she could resign from the government, but who does that anymore? She could resign in protest, but who does that? So in order to maintain her sanity, she has to do certain things. And I think that's what Fred saw in her face, her eyes, her gestures.
Well, she's got great taste in shoes.
Yeah, she does. She does have great taste in shoes. I can't throw any rice into the mix because I don't know what to say about her. She's an illusion. That's all. She is window dressing. Arm candy for George W. Bush. Stay with us.
And Colin Powell likes a blonde that's stacked, and Rumsfeld wants his fanny smack. Cheney, he gets quite a thrill if when you pop his cork, you shout, oil spill! We need more sex in the White House. More sex in the White House. More sex in the White House.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
And getting pretty damn excited too.
21 past the hour. Greg in Reno sends this in. This is kind of scary. Greg writes, if the U.S. sits on its hands as Israel invades Lebanon, which is probably going to happen very, very soon. Greg writes, if the U.S. sits on its hands as Israel invades Lebanon, wouldn't that be a green light for Turkey to invade Kurdish Iraq to stop the Kurdish incursions into Turkey? Would, could, should the U.S. protect Iraqi sovereignty against a Turkish ally with a half million Iranian troops ready to team up against the U.S. with Turkey? A scenario very likely to develop, Greg writes. See, that's the problem. When you have the kind of degenerate, crazy non-leadership like this half-wit in the White House who grabs foreign leaders by their shoulders and talks about pig roast when the world is burning. I mean, this guy is so bad, it's hardly worth talking about anymore. And then behind him, a real serious band of crazed psychopaths. I mean, these people, every one of them are just totally out of their minds. Then all these tensions and possible alliances, although they would be temporary, that the tensions that have been building for a long time. Don't forget, we don't have any national memory in this country. Most of us, we have a memory of World War II. I'm talking about not a direct memory, but a collective memory. We know that, okay, we fought the Great War, we stopped fascism. But beyond that, we just don't have that here. Whereas in other parts, and maybe it's because we're only 230 years old, although that's a piss poor excuse. But most parts of the world, when they think about the grievances that they have against that tribe over there, those grievances can go back or were caused by events that go back 1,000 years, 1,500 years, 2,000 years. Look at the Middle East. You know, those grievances go back, what? When folks were still writing on stones, I think. So given all of this tension and the potential for utter disaster, you don't have to be a high school graduate to understand what's needed is leadership. And we don't have it. We have half-wits and killers and people who, for their own specific agendas, want to see conflict, want to see war, want to see death, as much of it as possible. And I believe that. That's not just, you know, some throwaway statement on my part. I do believe these people appreciate, in a way you can't and I can't, mass death. I really do. I really do. I believe that. So Greg's scenario, as scary as it is, has real possibilities, huh? All right, I've just got two items, then we're going to come to the phones. And if I have some more things here, I'm going to work them in as we go. Institute for Public Accuracy, I'm on their mailing list, and they have, this is from today, under the heading Christian Zionists Lobby Congress. The first one here is Reverend Dr. Donald Wagner. He is a professor at North Park University in Chicago and a founding member of the Institute for the Study of Christian Zionism. He said today, quote, briefly stated, Christian Zionism is a movement within Protestant fundamentalism that understands the modern state of the country religion, a country region, Israel, as the fulfillment of biblical prophecy and thus deserving of political, financial, and religious support. Christian Zionists work closely with the Israeli government, religious and secular Jewish Zionist organizations, and are particularly empowered during periods when the more conservative Likud party is in control of the Knesset. The current conflict in Lebanon will accelerate Christian Zionists' interest in and support for Israel's objectives and will push the U.S. toward unconditional support for Israel. Many of the Christian Zionists may interpret this as a prelude to the Battle of Armageddon and the final end time scenario. We and our organization find that to be a misinterpretation of the Bible, and it is rather politically myopic. Further, it has no particular compassion for the suffering of innocent civilians, among them Arab, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Okay, we kind of know that. That's stipulated in the program here, and has been for a long time, that these Christian Zionists, of course, there's a dark side to their support of Israel, and we've talked about this before, and I want to mention it again. I've got two more comments that were put out today by the Institute for Public Accuracy. Rabbi Chaim Biliak, who is a co-founder of the Jews on First website, and Sarah Posner, who is a contributor to the American Prospect. We'll have those two comments when we come back. And then I want to share with you what Pat Buchanan has written, and then we'll move on to your phone calls. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Abacore. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Abacore and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Abacore really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Abacore works. And Abacore with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Abacore free with your order, plus a free gift from Abacore's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. I continue with these, just a couple comments here. This is from Rabbi Chaim Biliak, who is co-founder of the Jews on First website. That's JewsOnFirst.org. He is also a member of the Institute for the Study of Christian Zionism. Rabbi Biliak said today, Christian Zionism is an extreme, modern, apocalyptic movement that shares with Nazi philosophy the paranoid idea that Jews and Judaism are the central actors in the world. Both movements, Christian Zionism and Nazism, seek the eventual dismantling of the Jewish people and the Jewish faith, one by death, Nazism, and the other by conversion to Christianity of a remnant of Jews who will finally learn their lesson from the death of most of the Jewish people at Armageddon. Christian Zionism entirely ignores Jewish Zionist aspirations for normalcy. Zionism was to be a new start for Judaism and the Jewish people living enlightened lives in peace. Instead, Christian Zionism encourages the Israeli government and the so-called American Jewish leadership on a path toward enmity with the Palestinians and disrespect for Islam. The Christian Zionists, I swear, I'm glad that the rabbi here, and a huge number of Jews understand that Christian Zionists are no more interested in an alliance with the Jews than they're interested in an alliance with, their own particular devils. They use the Jews. And when that great getting up morning comes, the idea is that the Jews who will accept Jesus as the Messiah will be spared, and those who don't, which one would think would be all Jews, since it's not part of their belief system, those Jews will be put to death by the Christians. Huh? Nice, huh? Sarah Posner is a contributor to the American Prospect and other publications. Her latest article at prospect.org is titled Holy War. Sarah Posner said today, quote, while American evangelical Christians have long allied themselves with what they claim to be Israel's interests, the rising political power of the Christian right, along with Republican dominance in Washington, has enabled them to extend their reach from their churches into the making of American foreign policy. Earlier this year, San Antonio televangelist John Hagee published an incendiary new book titled Jerusalem Countdown, in which he claims that Iran, which he says is just months away from producing a viable nuclear weapon, Iran must be confronted militarily because the Bible predicts that such a confrontation will set off a chain of events leading to Armageddon and the Second Coming. Hagee's new lobbying arm, Christians United for Israel, had long planned its visit to Washington this week to lobby Congress, and it drew more attention because it coincided with the current bloodshed in Lebanon and Israel. As a drumbeat of politicians and pundits clamoring for war with Iran becomes louder, Hagee's role in mobilizing the shock troops in support of a military strike is becoming more clear. Prominent Republicans, including Republican National Committee Chair Ken Melman, attended the group's events. While many Republicans may not adhere to Hagee's ideas about biblical prophecy, this dangerous marriage of convenience nonetheless produces public support for Bush's war agenda, as well as evangelical votes come November. There are times when I wish I still was a believer in Christian theology, because then I it would be easier for me, I think. I think I would have more believability to speak out against this filth, these Christian ministers. You know, it's one thing for another Christian, just like it's one thing for Jews to criticize Jews, for black folk to criticize black folk, the Irish to criticize Irish. You know how it goes. It'd be easier for a believing Christian to criticize these thugs. And since I am not that, I have to criticize from the outside. But the belief system that these so-called Christians are practicing and trying to jam down the throats of Americans and members of Congress is just an abomination. The reason I wish, sort of, sometimes, that I still believed in it is so that I could believe that these people will be cast into the deepest vaults of hell where snakes, scorpions, and spiders will gnaw on their flesh for all eternity. It's so bad what these people are doing. You know, the whole Armageddon idea has nothing whatsoever to do with anything other than the mad rantings of a couple of itinerant fundamentalists in the 1840s, 50s, 60s. We talked about this the other night, or touched on it, the Great Awakening in this country. It has no foundation whatsoever except in drunken, mystic mythology, superstition, Christian crap. And yet, so many of these so-called Christians in America believes this stuff and works toward pushing the earth and everybody on it to some sort of global destruction. If these people were true followers of Christ, they would do everything in their power to avoid such a conflagration or confrontation or meltdown. They would be working for peace. I mean, their own leader said that blessed are the peacemakers, not the war makers. I mean, how simple is this? But these people freak me out. That's the only reason I bring it up. The Christian Zionists freak me out even more than Jewish Zionists. They really do. Because Christian Zionists, the ulterior motive for them is the murder of everybody except them. It's a slaughter of everybody. You know, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, gays, atheists, doctors that provide abortions, everybody, everybody. These people want to murder everybody. It is a blood cult. It's astonishing. I can't believe how American Christianity has devolved to the point that it tolerates this sort of cancer on the body of its belief system. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. But it's there. All right. Last thing here, Buchanan. He wrote this yesterday. Excuse me. And this is posted at a lousy website, WorldNet Daily, but it's Pat Buchanan, who I think is a raving maniac most of the time. But here's what he wrote. He says, my country has been, quote, torn to shreds, close quote, said Fuad Seniora, the prime minister of Lebanon, as the death toll among his people passed 300 civilian dead, 1,000 wounded, 500,000 homeless. Seniora said Israel must pay for the, quote, barbaric destruction, close quote. To the contrary, says columnist Lawrence Kudlow, quote, Israel is doing the Lord's work, end quote. On American TV, former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the ruination of Lebanon is Hezbollah's doing. But is it Hezbollah that is using U.S.-built F-16s with precision-guided bombs and 155-millimeter artillery pieces to wreak death and devastation on Lebanon? No, Israel is doing this with the blessing and without a people protest from President Bush. And we wonder why they hate us. Today we are all Israelis, brayed Ken Melman of the Republican National Committee to a gathering of Christians United for Israel. That's what we were just talking about here. Buchanan goes on, one wonders if these Christians care about what is happening to our Christian brethren in Lebanon and Gaza, who have all power cut off by Israeli airstrikes, an outlawed form of collective punishment that has left them with no sanitation, rotting food, impure water, and days without light or electricity in the horrible heat of July. When summer power outages occur in America, it means a rising rate of death among our sick and elderly and women and infants. One can only imagine what a hell it must be today in Gaza City and Beirut. But all this carnage, Buchanan writes, and destruction has only piqued the bloodlust of the hairy-chested warriors at the Weekly Standard. In a signed editorial there, titled, It's Our War, William Kristol calls for America to play her rightful role in this war by, quote, countering this act of aggression by Iran with a military strike against Iranian nuclear facilities. Why wait? Close quote. Why wait? Well, one reason is that the United States has not been attacked. A second reason is a small thing called the Constitution. Where does George W. Bush get the authority to launch a war on Iran? When did Congress declare war or authorize a war on Iran? Answer, it never did. But these neoconservatives care no more about the Constitution than they cared about the truth when they lied us into war in Iraq. Why wait? How about thinking of the fate of those 25,000 Americans in Lebanon if we launch an unprovoked war on Iran? How many would wind up dead or hostages of Hezbollah if Iran gave the order to retaliate for the slaughter of their citizens by U.S. bombs? What would happen to the 130,000 U.S. troops in Iraq if Shiites and Iranian volunteers joined forces to exact revenge on our soldiers? What about America? Richard Armitage, who did four tours in Vietnam and knows a bit about war, says that in its ability to attack Western targets, Al-Qaeda is the B team, Hezbollah the A team. If Bush bombs Iran, what prevents Hezbollah from launching retaliatory attacks inside the United States? Now, none of this, Buchanan says, is written in defense of Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran. But none of them has attacked our country, nor has Syria, whom Bush 1 made an ally in the Gulf War, to whom the most decorated soldier in Israeli history, Ehud Barak, offered 99% of the Golan Heights. If Nixon, Bush 1, and Clinton could deal with Hafez al-Assad, a tougher customer than Sun Bashar, what's the matter with George W. Bush? A little more of this when we come back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
coalition effort in the region against peace.
And you think he's just babbling when he says something like that? No, he's not. That's what he means. Back to the end here of Pat Buchanan's WorldNetDaily.com screed. No, this is not our war. He winds up by saying the last superpower, that's us, is impotent. Is impotent. I thought he was saying important. The last superpower is impotent in this war because we have allowed Israel to dictate to whom we may and may not talk. Thus, Bush winds up cussing in frustration in St. Petersburg that somebody should tell the Syrians to stop it. Well, why not pick up the phone, Mr. President? What is Bill Kristol's moral and legal ground for a war on Iran? Is it the Iranian act of aggression against Israel? And that Iran is on the road to nuclear weapons, and we can't have that. But there's no evidence Iran has any tighter control over Hezbollah than we have over Israel, whose response to the capture of two soldiers had all the spontaneity of the Schlieffen plan. And again, Hezbollah attacked Israel, not us. And there's no solid proof Iran is in violation of the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, which it has signed, but Israel refuses to sign. If Iran's nuclear program justifies war, why cannot the neocons make that case in the constitutional way, instead of prodding Bush to launch a Pearl Harbor attack? Do they fear they have no credibility left after pushing Bush into this bloody quagmire in Iraq that has cost almost 2,600 dead and 18,000 wounded Americans? No, Mr. Kristol, we are not all Israelis. Some of us still think of ourselves as Americans first, last, and always. Or, I'm sorry, that was Melman's quote. And no, Mr. Kristol, this is not our war. It's your war. And just when I mentioned what Greg and Reno said with that scenario of Turkey and Kurdistan, this comes from the Australian. Washington has warned Turkey that the U.S. opposes any attempt by Istanbul to pursue separatist Kurdish rebels into northern Iraq. The statement comes the day after Turkish Prime Minister said his security forces were drawing up such plans. Okay. So, see, Israel can strike with just unbelievable force against the civilian population of Lebanon. Because two of its soldiers have, in this instance, two of its soldiers have been captured. And the U.S. sanctions and blesses and encourages the attack and the slaughter. Turkey, on the other hand, who has been harassed by the Kurds for certainly as long as the Israelis have been harassed by the Palestinians, Turkey, on the other hand, if Turkey wants to respond against the Kurdish Iraqis by launching an invasion, which apparently Turkey's about to do. No. You see, we tell, no. You can't do that. The Turks are saying they have a right to defend themselves against Kurdish insurgents. The Prime Minister of Turkey says there's no point in endlessly discussing this issue. Our security forces are getting on with their task. Whatever steps need to be taken will definitely be taken. Now, this is, of course, because you are reasonably intelligent, as am I. We're both high school graduates, right? Good. This is the sort of response that is starting to come now from everybody. Why? Because God on Earth, Jesus' younger brother, George Bush, and the American military might, the American empire, has made it very clear. You can wage unprovoked war, and you can, if you're Israel, you can attack at will against those people, or against against the people who are kidnapping, using Israel's term, your soldiers. And if that means the slaughter of thousands or hundreds, thousands, whatever, of civilians, well, the civilian population shouldn't be harboring those terrorists I guess that's the way the logic goes. And if Turkey says the same thing, look, you know, these Kurdish bastards have been attacking us and slaughtering us and murdering us and killing us. We've had enough. The United States has blazed a trail. The United States is backing Israel. All right, United States, back us. We're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing as Israel. Back us. And the U.S. is saying, no, 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 no. So here we are. It's really kind of scary, isn't it? I'm serious. It's really kind of scary. Have you got a 2-week supply of water in your house? Have you got a 2-week supply of breathable air? All right. We're coming up on a break here, and when we come back, we are going to go right to your phone calls. So. There has been so much stuff developed this week. If you want to vent about any of those events, please, on this program, please do so. 866-303-2270 is the number. And we will probably spend the better part of the rest of the evening doing this, taking your calls. Although... Nah, I guess we will. I've got a stack 4 inches high here of stuff I wanted to get to, but what the hell. It's your program too, right? All right, stick around. Get ready to bring it on. 866-303-2270. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The Israeli army has called up more reserve troops as a major ground offensive against Lebanon moves forward. The Army says several hundred, if not thousands, of soldiers are being told to gather at specific meeting points for deployment northward. Israel now has troops and tanks massed on the border as warplanes hit Lebanon for a tenth day. Israel also warned residents in a 20-mile-wide area of southern Lebanon that they should leave the area immediately. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice leaves on Sunday in hopes of reaching a peace deal in the Middle East. Rice says she'll meet with Israeli and Palestinian leaders and then go to Rome to meet with officials of other countries. Speaking at the State Department, Rice renewed a call for Israel to avoid civilian casualties, but she also made it clear the U.S. considers it unacceptable for Hezbollah to drag the region into war. Rice also rejecting an immediate ceasefire, and as for a peacekeeping force, Rice says no one expects any U.S. ground troops to be taking part in that. Two women and a child among the five civilians killed by American troops in Iraq today. The military says they were raiding a neighborhood in search of Al-Qaeda terrorists and encountered resistance. Helicopters and ground troops opened fire on buildings, according to the military, after those inside refused to leave. An attempt at uniting Iraq sectarian and political groups starts tomorrow. That's the National Supreme Committee for Reconciliation and National Dialogue meeting for the first time. 30 members include lawmakers, religious leaders, and tribal officials. The committee formed in response to a 24-point national reconciliation plan from Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. His plan includes an amnesty program for insurgents not involved in killing Iraqis or multinational forces. Some insurgent groups have indicated they want to join the political process. Saddam Hussein calling on Americans, as he put it, to save your country and leave Iraq. In a letter released by Saddam's contacts in Jordan, the former Iraqi leader says George Bush lied to justify the Iraqi war and that Iran helped facilitate the aggression. The letter refers to the lack of evidence about weapons of mass destruction. Saddam's letter claiming the Bush administration is still lying about its reasons for what he terms the rush on the road to aggression. Saddam conducting a hunger strike and his trial on human rights abuses and atrocities resumes Monday. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy, and let's go to your phone calls now, as promised, starting with Ed, who's calling in from Phoenix. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hey, happy Friday to you, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I blame it all on the talking snake myself. But
do you? Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I'm calling here from the heart of Goldwater Country just to cheer you up a bit and let you know that there are good things going on. I was feeling rather oppressed by the news all week, and so I went out to one of our local peace vigils that we have out here on Fridays, and a lot of good people out there doing good stuff. And I've been doing these things on and off since the invasion of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that kind of the evolution. You get cues from the traffic passing by, people that that either honk their horns and flip a peace sign, or they flip you half a peace sign. And
right.
I'll tell you something. Lately, I haven't been seeing many half peace signs at all. I mean, we were out there and we had each wave of traffic, was steady course of at least five or six honkers with each wave, and it's people are with it, and I think that. People get impatient for change and for something better to come along, but you got to build it one brick at a time. And I just wanted to call and cheer you up, because I know you go through your dark patches, and I know probably a lot of listeners do too, where they think just nothing can be done about this. But you got to have some faith that that people will find their better nature and live up to it eventually. And you just keep doing your bit, and it's the momentum grows. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, well, I hear what you're saying, Ed, and thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. And Ed's right. I mean, that is a good thing. Americans who are participating in demonstrations that focus on peace, and not to negate what Ed just said, but when I think that. I remember what I read this week, that the Israelis dropped 23 tons of bombs on what they thought was a Hezbollah command and control bunker, and it turned out to not be that. And I think about this morning's New York Times, about page 5A, 6A, 7A, it was not on the front page, but a photograph of one man in the middle of a bomb scene in Beirut. Some of the buildings were still standing, 6, 7, 8, 10 stories up. And the photograph was taken from the perspective that allowed you to see the man on the ground and 6, 7, 8 stories up into the air. And it was horrendous. And I think about the peace demonstrations or the anti-war demonstrations I've attended, and I agree with Ed. We have to keep it up one brick at a time, but I think about the people dying. And when you get right down to it, whether the dead person is, an Iraqi Muslim or a Lebanese Christian or an Israeli Jew or a Palestinian Muslim, does it really matter? And when you find out that the death toll in these various areas break down to where half the people being killed are under the age of 16 or 17, that's the part that is just... I don't know how human beings can do this. I really don't. So I hear you, Ed, and God bless you for, so to speak, you know what I mean by that. I still use references like that. They're figures of speech to me. for doing what you're doing, for getting out there constantly by putting yourself out there. I think that's a good thing. Lily is calling from South Florida. Lily, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that my perception of you is a very intelligent and highly rational man. And because of that, I wanted to ask you a question that's bewildered me for a while. And that question is, we give Israel $4 billion a year. We've been doing that for many years. But I want to know, what is it that the United States gets in return?
Well, in the 50 years of the Cold War, and which kind of corresponded with the 50 years from the establishment of the State of Israel by the UN, what the United States got was an ally in a part of the world that was extremely volatile, contained all these energy resources, and a part of the world where the Russians, or I more properly should say the Soviet Union, had an interest. Soviet Union has always wanted, or this is 50s, 60s, and 70s history, but the Soviet Union always wanted a warm water port. They never had one. All of the ports in the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, were cold water ports, which meant that at certain times of year they were unusable. So they always wanted, the Russians or the Soviets always wanted a way to get to the Mediterranean through the Black Sea or whatever. They always wanted a warm water port. And this is one of the things that drove them. They also were interested, you know, this huge fight for 50 years between capitalism and communism. And it was a fight to the death, and the communists lost, in fact. So during that period of time, Israel had its own interests, and the United States was willing to support Israel as Israel took care of its interests. And part of the deal was that the United States would shut up about any atrocities, real or imagined, or any investigations that might be required regarding the Israeli treatment of the Palestinian people. UN resolution after UN resolution was passed, the Israelis just ignored. And the United States did nothing to say to the Israelis, well, you know, these resolutions have to be honored or acknowledged. By the same token, think about how many times Bush talks about Saddam Hussein ignoring 14, 15 UN resolutions. The Israelis have ignored about 150. So, what we got, to answer your question, was an ally, someone that we could use. And they, in turn, used us. While they build up their nuclear arsenal, they being Israel, they build up their nuclear arsenal, we used them. While we did whatever chicanery and double dealing and murder and mayhem that we did in the Middle East, like the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh, the elected president of Iran back in 1953, and our installation of the Shah, and on and on and on. This stuff just went on and on. All right, now, so with the fall and the dissolution of the Soviet Union, what is the point in our continuing to back Israel no matter what it does? In my opinion, there is no point. It's insane. It's crazy. There are times when Israel would be a good ally of the United States. There are also times when Israel leads the United States into situations that are entirely against the best interests of the United States. And still we go. That comes, I guess, as a result of American guilt for doing nothing during the Holocaust. It comes as a result of Catholic guilt. You know, the Catholics are the largest, aren't they the largest Christian denomination in the United States, or is it the Baptists? But the Catholics who were, the European Catholics who were instrumental in promoting the Holocaust against the Jews, because the Catholics up until the Second Vatican Council looked at the Jews as the murderers of Christ. So this is really, really, really insane stuff, because most of it is based on this religious superstition crap that I cannot get my mind around. But now, here we are, 2006. We have a situation that is so volatile right now that requires leadership from the United States especially, and we're not doing anything. Once again, we're saying to Israel, oh, you want to go ahead and bomb and kill? Go ahead. What, well, they capture two of your soldiers? Okay. What sort of kill ratio do you want to set up? Right now it's 30 to 1, 30 Lebanese dead for every Israeli dead. So how high do you want to take it? Yeah, we'll just sit back and let you continue the bombing and the destruction of the Lebanese infrastructure. What is needed is leadership. I don't know what the United States gets any longer from Israel. I honestly do not. Maybe somebody tonight will call in and tell me what it is.
Well, since you're touching on the topic of complicity, I don't know if you read any foreign newspapers or listen to the BBC.
I
but
do.
Exactly, then you know that...
Hey, hold on a second, Lily. Hold on. Let me do the break. We'll come back and finish up what you've got to say. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mullen.
And all of this violence is killing me. Silence is failing me.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
neocons. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour, we're talking with Lily, who has called in from South Florida. All right, where were we right at the break, Lily?
We were at, well, your explanation was gravitating towards complicity, so I wanted to add something to that. And according to foreign press, there's 2 billion people around the world that regard the plight of the Palestinians as today's most important foreign policy challenge. Mm-hmm. And yet, here we are almost 5 years after 9/11, and Bush has made no attempt to redress the grievances or even justify them.
That's very true.
I mean, I just find that astonishing.
It was okay during the Cold War for U.S. administration after U.S. administration, Democrat and Republican, to let the Palestinians rot. That was the price that the U.S. governments were willing to pay during the Cold War, as is the case in so many instances in which the United States got involved. The people that were the pawns in the struggle between the United States and the Soviet Union really didn't matter, whether they were Vietnamese or Nicaraguans or Congolese. It just didn't matter. Palestinians, if they were chewed up in some machine, well, too bad. As long as we were able to keep the wars between the United States and the Soviet Union small, regional conflagrations where only 50, 60, 70,000 people would die, or in the case of Southeast Asia, a couple million, but that was a kind of a mistake. Or in the Russians' case, Afghanistan, whoops. So is there complicity against the Palestinians by the U.S. government? Oh, absolutely. And the Muslim world understands this, and Americans don't. For some reason, Americans don't. If no matter what Israel does, the United States will back it. Do you know that the New York Times is reporting today that the Bush crime family is what it says in the paper. The Bush administration is rushing a delivery of precision-guided bombs to Israel, which requested the expedited shipment last week after beginning its air campaign against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon, American officials said Friday. That's today. The decision to quickly ship the weapons to Israel was made with relatively little debate within the Bush administration. Its disclosure threatens to anger Arab governments and others because of the appearance that the United States is actively aiding the Israeli bombing campaign in a way that could be compared to Iran's efforts to arm and resupply Hezbollah. So, and then the article goes on and on and on. But the world knows. How many Americans are aware tonight, and how many give a damn, if they are aware, that the United States is rushing just tons of bombs, so-called precision-guided bombs, which indicates one thing, that the Israeli campaign in Lebanon is going to continue. I was watching some of the news tonight. They're massing Israeli troops on the southern border of Lebanon, and this thing could spiral just straight into hell.
Right.
So I, you know, what can I say?
Well, listen, if you like reading, there's an excellent book by a lady by the name of Jessica Stern, who's a lecturer at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government,
mm-hmm.
and she wrote a book called Terror in the Name of God. And in that, she makes a statement that just, you know, it's in my mind, and that is that terrorism is an overreaction to a legitimate problem. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. All right.
So, but anyway, thank you for your answers, and have a wonderful night, and I love your show.
Well, thanks, Lily. I appreciate it. Reg over at TV News Lies sent me an email here. It says, those Americans, whatever their political or religious fervor, who are cheering the attacks on Lebanon by Israel are undoubtedly the same ones who supported the invasion of Iraq and continue to applaud the continuing carnage there. They have no clue about the history of the region, never mind the geographic reality of what is happening. They do not know that Lebanon is a tiny country, approximately four-fifths the size of the state of Connecticut, with a population of less than 4 million people. They cannot imagine the devastation that has taken place during this week of continuous bombing on that small landmass still reeling from years of civil war and 20 years of being a pawn between Israel and Syria. And they have no idea how this beautiful nation is now dead and will never recover in our lifetime. Just one day this week, 23 tons of bombs were dropped on what was supposed to be a Hezbollah bunker, but turned out to be a mosque under construction. Do Americans have any idea at all about what that must be like? They don't. They watch this war and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as if they were unfolding on a movie screen, and then switch the channel to their favorite sitcom. This is unquestionably the prelude to war with Iran and Syria. The invasion of Lebanon was planned by the Israelis more than a year ago, according to recent reports. The pieces of the puzzle are falling into place perfectly for the PNAC thugs who control our foreign policy. Death and suffering among those in their way are simply the means to a greater end for these evil people. It is time to be very afraid. Reg.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 26 before the hour. Continuing with your phone calls here, Sergeant Herb is calling from Mississippi. Herb, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing this evening?
Doing all right, sir. How are you? Sarge, how are you?
All right. right. I work for a living, so you don't have to call me sir.
I was supposed to call a sergeant, sir. Right. Sorry.
Okay. Listen, I wanted to get into some things that's really important here that I've discovered. I spent yesterday on the phone talking to people in Goshen, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran across a problem that just really scares me to death, and I want to get it out to the listeners, and I want them to get active and do something if they will, please. But there is people down on the Mississippi coast, and I'm sure it's happening in Louisiana. I can't confirm that part. The handicapped people are being kicked out of their FEMA trailers, being forced to move in with family that doesn't have room for them.
Who's kicking them out, Sarge?
Huh?
Who's kicking them out?
FEMA.
Jesus.
FEMA. I'll tell you an example of one. This family, they lost their home. One of their disabled people had a FEMA trailer. They got a FEMA trailer. Okay, FEMA's taking the FEMA trailer away from the one that's outside the home and telling him he has to move back in with his family, although his family doesn't have room because they're in the FEMA trailer and they are already maxed out as far as their resources goes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put these people into areas, their FEMA trailers, into areas that a tropical storm will actually kill some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
There is no evacuation plan in order. I talked to a lady in Jackson who is with the Mississippi Coalition for Citizens with Disabilities, and I'll give you her website, mscoalition.com.
MSCoalition.com, okay.
And her name is Mary Troop.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her, and she's a lady in Goshen whose story I wrote on the Hurricane section of PowersandMorrison.com, wrote a little bit about it, and I talked to her on the phone, and she told me about the family that's one of their people is really just one step away from going on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many others that are. Of course, Trent Lott's voting against everything that helps these people.
Right.
And I asked her, and I've been in contact with people in the different areas. Like, I've talked to the governor's office. I've tried to talk to Lott's office. They won't even talk with me. I talked to Cochran's office, and they're going to look into some of this. But it's just a mess, and the people who rent houses down in Goshen and the other coastal areas, they can't get help. They either make too much money to get help, they're not getting it, but they don't make enough money to really get by on.
Right.
And it's just one major mess.
And you know what's going to make it even worse, Sarge, is when a storm kicks up, and it's coming. And
uh-huh.
comes up the Gulf and slams into South Mississippi and Louisiana this year. Do you know what's going to happen? It's going to be as bad as it was the first time, because this time it's going to be slamming into people who are already hanging on by a thread.
Yeah,
and these sons of bitches in Washington, in the Bush crime family, that are doing nothing. I mean, it's almost a year now, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be a year shortly. And the thing is that, you know, the area, okay, you're going to take a while to rebuild. I mean, that's obvious. But even after Camille, it took a while. But there's so many immediate needs that are not being met. And Governor Barber's office, I talked to them, and they're BSing the media. The stories are not getting out, and that's why please, people, go to my site and read, because I'm going to get their stories out, you know? And, Mike, I appreciate you giving us this time, because I have gotten really concerned about these people down there, and they are desperate. There is a depression over the area that I have never seen anywhere in my life.
I can only imagine. Now, you've got this at powersandmorrison.com, and what did you call it, the hurricane section?
Yeah, I write the hurricane section as well as the old SARS section. They're both
okay.
linked together.
All right.
And, of course, now you know about this, but our buddy Victor, his first article should be up shortly.
I've got it.
And I'm going to try and get it up. But please go by this coalition. It's a non-profit, coalition, and these people really...
Is it linked at your website?
Yeah, I got it on the article on the hurricane section. I got a story about
okay, it. Okay, let's just so people don't get confused. Let's just send them to your website, powersandmorrison.com, and go to the Old Sarge or the hurricane section, and all the links will be there.
And read the story about me from Gaucher.
All right, sounds good.
And I appreciate it, Mike.
All right, hang in, Sarge. I know it's hell on earth. Hang in, which is easy for me to say. I'm in Atlanta. But do hang in, Sarge. I appreciate you checking in, all right?
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. This is from Paula. Dear Mike, how is it okay for a country, be it the U.S. or Israel, to bomb and kill the many for the actions of a few? If this is sane, why don't we bomb L.A. for the same actions of the hideous acts of gangs there? Or for that matter, in any city in the U.S. for gang behavior. I realize this is a simplistic view, but I think applicable. These terrorist groups do things that are hideous, for whatever reason, to society. So how can any country bomb the innocent, drive them out of their homes, destroy their homes and workplaces for the actions of a few? I can't stop the actions of gang behavior. No amount of bombing can alter the fact that I cannot change the acts of gangs. So why do we do so in Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Lebanon? This is insane and a crime against humanity. And who can stop it? It seems to me something else is at the heart of such actions by a country, because there can be no adequate reason ever to punish hundreds of thousands of innocents for the actions of a small band of renegades. And isn't it considered blasphemy to think that man himself can force God's hand into the end times scenario? Isn't that making these fanatics into an equal with God? And in so doing, isn't that an act of blasphemy? And isn't that bad? It most certainly is the ultimate hubris. But I thought considering yourself equal to God was the worst of sins. Apparently I'm wrong. I never hear anyone mention blasphemy. I guess only liberals blaspheme God. Thanks for listening. I sure wish there was something sane people could do to stop this cruelty. And signed, Paula. I think in all three religions that are practiced by people of the book, that would be Jew, Christian, and Muslim, yeah, any attempt to equate yourself with God is worse than blasphemy. According to Leviticus or Genesis or other books of the Bible, that's a reason for instant death of the most horrid kind. But since, and I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your belief system here, Paula, but since it's all superstitious nonsense, I don't think that there is some hairy thunderer sitting up in heaven who's going to cast down thunderbolts on people who try to hurry what they believe is the second coming of a Messiah. That requires this bloodletting, apparently, this cult of death that is a huge part of Christianity. And if you don't like how I'm putting this, whether it's, I'm not referring to you necessarily, Paula, but anybody, if it's not a cult of death, what is it? Well, I know. Somebody's going to say it's a cult of life, you know, life through Jesus. Well, you know what I say to that. But what is going on is clear indication it's a cult of death. When I see these Christian fundamentalists or post-millennialist preachers in this country who are egging all this destruction on, all this death on, because, as Paula writes, they think somehow they're going to speed up their perverse vision of this Armageddon nonsense, I guess if you're a believer, yeah, that's blasphemous. If you're not a believer, if you're an atheist, there's another word for it. It's clinical insanity. I guess that's two words. Clinical madness is what it is. And it's a shame that so many people are dying, even as we speak, because of this clinical insanity. I must really make angry people who are not these post-millennial psychotic so-called Christians with what I say. I'm sorry if I do. I mean, I'm genuinely sorry. I know that religious belief is a deeply personal thing, and I can certainly respect that. It's when that deeply personal religious belief starts pushing me into a position where my life is at danger because of this psychosis, then I react. And that's how I see it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
This Bible should be taught in every nation, and we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus Land, where we all love thy neighbor if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus Land.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk. And I love the way you talk.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
You notch me out. Out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang.
It's about 10 before the hour. Moving on with your calls here. Steve is calling from Massachusetts. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine, Steve.
I just want to preface things with the fact that I'm Jewish, I'm a Zionist, I'm a supporter of Israel. However, for the last 8-9 days, however long this crisis has been, in every event I've gone to, every friend, associate, or anybody that I think just would be thoughtful about any of this, I have questioned greatly what appears to be huge over-response on the part of Israel. I'm very concerned about that.
What sort of response? What sort of response are you getting from the people with whom you bring up this question?
I hate to use the word because it's awful when you think of a child dying to use such a word, but a measured, sensible debate about does the you know, the issue comes up, and I hate, as much as I bet you hate having to quote Pat Buchanan, I hate having to quote Condi Rice.
Right.
But Condi Rice was the first to bring up the fact that each one of these conflicts has never been fought to a point of surrender. It has had a brokered ceasefire,
right,
including the war, the major wars, the Yom Kippur War, the 67 war, brokered ceasefire. And each time there's a brokered ceasefire, there's a deal put in place wherein, albeit possibly a far too weak government to accomplish it, a government such as Lebanon, as in 2000 when Israel withdrew from Lebanon, promises it will get a group like Hezbollah under control. So I have no conclusion. I'm not bright enough to come to any conclusions about this, but I'm saying that this is what I've met with. You asked what I've met with people, but I wanted to preface it by that I am very concerned, mostly on a humanitarian level, but even on the most practical level, this is a public relations nightmare for Israel. But there's almost nothing that can be anything other, in my opinion, than a public relations nightmare for Israel. But prefacing it with that, could I take a minute to give you some of my take on history since you responded?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I want to go back to after World War I and around 1922-23 when there were two conflicting or warring almost kingdoms in the Saudi Peninsula which had been allies of the British, and one of them was the Hashemite kings who lived side by side with the Saud family and were they weren't, I don't think they were at arms, but they were conflicting over who would control the holy places, Mecca and Medina.
Right.
And to solve this, the British took half of Palestine, which is Transjordanian Palestine,
right,
east of the Jordan River,
mm-hmm,
and created the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, a country
right,
which today is Jordan. The world said, stupidly, hawkishly, naively, whatever you want to say, oh, the Arabs will, good, we can eventually do the Balfour Declaration deal with the West Side, because the Arabs will regard this Islamic kingdom in half of Palestine. Okay, so there, half of Palestine is gone out of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the bargaining. Jump to 1948. What I disagree with you on is, in 1948, the first country, the United States did not immediately recognize Israel. The first country to recognize Israel was the Soviet Union, which was a great supporter of Israel until Stalin had his problems, and I'm not enough. I wish someone would call, but I do know about his paranoia and problems with his Jewish scientific community in in Russia, and they broke down in the 50s. In the 50s and up till 67, the United States was icy and cold with Israel. It did not have good relations. Do you know who was the primary in the 50s and 60s supplier and supporter of Israel? France. France was the largest, greatest, most loyal supporter of Israel. De Gaulle was like, you know, was whoever was in Israel was in like Flint with De Gaulle, and whatever, I don't know who else was in power in France. And in that time, in 67, when Golda Meir insisted upon making a preemptive blow with the buildup on the Egyptian-Syrian Jordanian and Lebanese borders, but I think Egyptian and Syrian were the worst, of course. She and de Gaulle met, and de Gaulle said, no, you must accept the first blow. Well, they had already been through several wars, and she said, no, we're not accepting another blow. Another thing I want to say about 1948, you mentioned Catholic guilt. Well, it may play in now or in the last 20 years. Didn't play in there. You know what the first words out of the Vatican, and I believe they were ex cathedra in 1948, were? The establishment of a Jewish sovereignty is deeply troubling to the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
The issue wasn't caring about Palestinians or caring about anybody. The issue was a Jewish sovereignty had been established in a world where 2,000 years ago, or however long ago you want to say, it was established that Jews were the Christ killers. And I realize you addressed that with the jump to Vatican II, whatever. In 67, de Gaulle cut off all aid after the preemptive.
Steve, hold on, because I've got to take a break here. Now, let me ask you, how much more do you have to say? I'm willing to give you a little more time, but I can't give you more than, like, 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right, then what we're going to do is take a break. We'll come back, and I'll hold you to it.
Thank you very much.
This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. An Israeli military source says his country will not mount a massive invasion of southern Lebanon, preferring instead to step up pinpoint incursions designed to destroy Hezbollah bunkers. Speculation that Israel would mount a large-scale offensive into Lebanon ran rampant Friday, with several media outlets reporting Israel would invade as early as Friday night. Those reports were based on Israeli forces massing near the border, as well as the call-up of several thousand reservists Friday. However, an unnamed source said there would be no full-scale incursion into Lebanon. Evacuations from Lebanon continue as U.S. officials said 4,400 Americans left the country by sea and air Friday, the largest one-day evacuation in the current operation. All five of Connecticut's congressmen were at the state capitol in Hartford Friday to express their support for Israel in the current Middle East conflict. Hartford area Congressman John Larson says Israel deserves worldwide support.
This is a time for all of us to stand in solidarity, stand up to these terrorists and their blind and insidious ambition.
All five of Connecticut members of the House of Representatives voted for a resolution supporting Israel in the conflict with Hezbollah. Huge sections of eastern Missouri and southern Illinois are in the dark after another round of storms knocked down lines and short-circuited the power grid. The utility there says more than 500,000 people were without power after Friday's bad weather. The power company says it is working to get everyone back online, but they can't say if that will happen by Monday. At the worst of the storms, power was lost to 500,000 people in and around St. Louis and another 200,000 people in southern Illinois. Thousands of residents of Queens, New York have also been dealing with a long-term power outage. A group of National Guard leaders have left Virginia preparing to support the Kosovo peacekeeping mission. Correspondent Deirdre Blake has that story.
Major Cotton per year says the members of Task Force Falcon will be training in Camp Atterbury, Indiana for more than 2 months. Guard members from 16 states, Puerto Rico, and a number of active duty Army and reservists will take part in the mission. In Fort Belvoir, Virginia, I'm Deirdre Blake.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. All right, we're talking with Steve, who's calling from Massachusetts. Sorry, Steve, I can give you 2 more minutes here to wrap it up, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right,
you
go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that in the 19 years from 1948 to 1967, the West Bank and Gaza didn't exist. They were parts of Jordan and Egypt. There were no attempts by either of those countries to create a Palestinian state. There was just promises for those almost 2 decades that Israel would, by those 2 states, that Israel would be wiped off the map. Then when Carter brokered the deal where Israel in the late 70s made peace with, mid-70s, with Israel, and, with Jordan and Egypt, Israel at that time begged Jordan and Egypt, because there was no anything in place, there was no structure, political structure in place for there to be an independent Palestine, begged Jordan and Egypt to take back the West Bank and Gaza. And they both said, are you kidding? They did not want a situation like Turkey has with the Kurds on their border. The Palestinians do have, it's tertiary, but they do have a memory of Transjordanian Palestine too, which is Jordan. The Jordanians and other states around Palestine and Israel fear the radicalized Palestinians, and they did not want to take back the West Bank or Gaza. They didn't. This is not an excuse for not rushing. I am frustrated. Three settlements were being evacuated before this most recent crisis in the West Bank. I think there should be, just as there was a unilateral withdrawal from Gaza, I think there should be from the West Bank. It's not a fair solution, in my opinion, because you're going to end up with an Israel with 1.2 Israeli citizen Arabs living in it, 1.2 million, and you're going to end up with a Jew-free Palestine. And to me, a fair situation would be a two-state solution where Jews were free to live in Palestine and Arabs were free to live in Israel. But Israel's going to have to accept that that lack of symmetry.
Okay. All right. I understand what you're saying. Steve, thank you. I appreciate your point of view. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate especially your point of view at the very end about the attempt to have an existence of two states. But I think at this point, realistically, we can agree that's never going to happen. I'm not saying you and I can agree to that, Steve, but I think people who understand the entire history of that sad part of the world can agree that a two-state solution is, at this point now, off the table. There might have been a chance for that at one point, and I do not fault the surrounding Arab countries for not absorbing the Palestinian population or for carving out of their falsely constructed territory. I mean, most of the countries in the Middle East are all false. None of them existed in their present geographic boundaries 75 years ago, 100 years ago. These are all constructs. The Israelis talk about Eretz Israel, and that is found. The boundaries of that is found in the Bible. Well, if the Bible is going to be used as the document to establish a secular state, but a state, then it would seem to me that the door is open for murder most foul all over the Middle East. The fact remains. The Muslims do not consider the Jews to be God's chosen people. The Christians may accept some of that, but there's a big caveat. You're only the chosen people if you accept our Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know, it's sick, all of it. I'm sorry, Steve. I can't get my head around it. This is This has its roots in religion, and it's a shame that it does, and that religious stuff has spilled out into the political, into the secular, and it's caused what we have seen since prior to 1948, but since 1948, let's start there. Sure, what the hell, that's a good starting point. There's never going to be, I used to believe in two-state solution too. Not anymore. Because it's an impossibility, it's never going to happen. The murder and the mayhem and the divisiveness that exists in that part of the world is incurable. It's never going to be healed. This tension, I said this the other night, 50, 75 years from now, if the planet still exists and hasn't burned up into a cinder, no matter what the situations are on Earth, 75 years from now, there will still be an Israeli-Palestinian conflict. You know it as well as I do. If countries like Israel or Palestine still exist, if any of it still exists, 1,000 years from now, it's going to be the same thing. 10,000 years from now, it's going to be the same thing. You know it as well as I do. There is no solution. There is none. And as long as the Palestinians say, no, this is our land, and as long as the Israeli Jews say, no, this is our land, and come on. There's no solution there. There is none. God, I hate this. I just hate it. Okay, Tim is calling from Santa Fe. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. Well, I have to admire Steve's grasp of historical detail. I don't have anywhere that level of erudition on the matter, but
well, in listening to him, I'm not going to interrupt. Obviously, he was passionate about what he believed in, but it shaded his historical perspective is shaded with his belief system, and I think that came through clearly. But aside from that, okay.
Oh, I think well, yeah, and I think I have to admit, I think all of us, it's. Our perspective is shaded through that, but one comment he made, and it was something that I heard earlier tonight too. He mentioned about this being a public relations disaster for Israel, and I was listening to Majority Report before your show came on, and I heard you call in to wish Janine
right.
well, and they had a woman on there tonight. Her name is Lamor Sivan or Sivan. She's an Israeli peace activist and journalist, and she had been in the Israeli army. And she also made the comment that this, regardless of what you think of it, simply from a practical public relations point of view, I guess she didn't use that word, but she said this is likely to be counterproductive. And it really struck a chord with me because if I can go into a little of my own background. In the 67 war, I was 10, kind of going on 11, when that broke out. And I was totally on Israel's side with that. I mean, I thought they were attacked, and I was kind of just getting interested in things that were going on at that point, and I was trying to pay attention, and I was totally behind Israel. And I had this Midwestern Protestant upbringing where Old Testament stories about Israel, that all kind of played into that too, with Judas Maccabeus and Masada and mm-hmm. King David and all of the heroic kind of image of Israel that from the Old Testament. And but I was totally behind Israel. I didn't have any sympathy with any of the Arab states or the Palestinians, and I've pretty much been there ever since, and except. Later on, I just kind of got sick of the whole thing, and I just didn't want to hear about it anymore. But even until, recently, I still leaned toward Israel, and this is a lifelong thing. Well, now, but the other night, and I don't watch much TV news, or at least U.S. TV news, because I just think it's mostly garbage. But it was, I don't know, Wednesday night maybe, I was watching, and I watched about 5 or 10 minutes of the stuff on some of the cable channels, and I'm not somebody who cries easily, but I was on the verge of tears.
Hey, hold on. Hold on right there. Stop there on the verge of tears, and I'll come back to you right after we take this break, Tim. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
In a world full of greed, let's believe that peace will come eventually. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, never let go of hope. You can still achieve your dreams.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Okay. The question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Let's go back to Tim. All right. You were watching and you got choked up watching
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I just felt like, I mean, that's the best way I can describe it.
No, I understand.
I wanted to cry. And
sure.
And the next thing, about that moment, I said something like, and to my partner who was sitting there also watching, I said, and this sounds going to sound terrible, but I said, you know when they used to talk about driving Israel into the sea? Well, I wish they would do it. Somebody would do it. Now, I don't mean that for a second, but it was just like this. It was just this rage at seeing people being, as you said, murdered, slaughtered, and then infrastructure being blown up, bridges that they had just rebuilt, power plants, water, they're blowing up water storage. In an arid country where people need that, and it, and of course, like I say, I don't mean it. The Miss Sivan and was talking about how hundreds of thousands of Israelis aren't happy about what's going on, and they probably think that it's an overreaction, and I have to think, well. Really, I can't blame them, because we can't seem to do anything about our murderous maniac government, that's doing all this stuff. So, but it was just that, it was just kind of a helpless feeling. And, I think your question about, your explanation about what we got out of Israel, such as it was during the Cold War, and then what is it that we're getting out of it now? I think the only thing that we're getting out of it now is it's on behalf of these the fundamentoids and these millennialist maniacs that, as you said, actually are yearning for Armageddon. I mean, they want it to happen because they think they're going to go up to heaven. And of course the whole AIPAC factor and the people who think Israel is right no matter what. So I think it's just more of a political benefit for one group of people in our political culture now. It's so they keep supporting Israel, and of course they would never admit that they're trying to bring this about. I mean, they would just say, oh no, God's going to bring it about. We don't know when it'll happen, but I think that's at least a subconscious drive behind this. And a lot of people don't take it seriously when you try to tell them about it. It's just like, you know, making jokes about 666 coming up on the cash register or something. They think it's kind of a joke, but if you grew up in the Midwest or the South, or I was from this more liberal Protestant background, and so we weren't. My church wasn't, and we were churchgoers, but most of the people there weren't that crazy about the end times and all that. But you were aware of it in the culture. I mean, you knew, you'd heard about it, and you knew that some people took it very seriously. So anyway, I just don't know. I don't know what we're supposed to do. I don't know what we can do to, all the congressmen seem to be lining up saying, oh no, we support Israel 100%.
Well, that's what is always said. That's what is, has been said certainly for the past 40 years. Democrat and Republican. I sometimes think it's against the law in America to criticize the actions taken by the Israeli military or the Israeli government, it seems to be. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Appreciate you checking in, Tim. All right? Thanks a lot. Take care. I keep coming back to this article in the Times tomorrow. It's in Saturday's New York Times about the Bush administration rushing a delivery of precision-guided bombs to Israel. And as far as precision guided is concerned, that's hog snot, and we all know it's hog snot. These are just metal encased deliveries of utter and absolute death. And the part that's chilling here, it says in the Times, the new American arms shipment to Israel has not been announced publicly. And the officials who described the administration's decision to rush the munitions to Israel will discuss it only after being promised anonymity. The officials included employees of two government agencies, and one described the shipments as just one example of a broad array of armaments that the United States has long provided Israel. Now, again, this is insanity. This is insanity, and I think it's a clear indication that everything that comes out of George Bush's mouth about wanting to find a peaceful solution is a lie. It's an absolute lie. What they are looking for is the destruction. And if Israel can do it, fine. The destruction of any resistance to the overarching goal, which is United States domination of that part of the planet. But the Israelis, regarding the United States, let's just take that. The Israelis are not stupid regarding the United States. I think that's one of the reasons that the Israelis constantly spy on the United States. I'm sorry, we just got carried away. We went way past the break. All right, let's take it coming up here.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
We'll be right back.
focused coalition effort in the region against peace.
From Mosnad to Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the fields.
It's about 26 before the hour. All right, I'm sorry for letting that break just run over us. I don't know how that came across on the radio, but that was our fault. also, I've got a request to make. If everyone is on hold, and anyone who calls in the future, I'm being kind of lenient tonight, but we've got to cut these calls down. We really do. I appreciate the histories of this and the histories of that, but there's a lot of people on hold, and not just the folks on hold, but the people listening. So what we're going to do is start asking everybody to keep your call to 3 minutes or under, okay? I mean, that's like the outside limit, 3 minutes. Thanks. All right, appreciate it. Now, I want to go back to this thing. It's in today's New York Times, Saturday's New York Times. And just a couple of lines here. The Bush administration is rushing a delivery of precision-guided bombs to Israel, which requested the expedited shipment last week after beginning its air campaign against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon, American officials said today, Friday. The decision to quickly ship the weapons to Israel was made with relatively little debate within the Bush administration, the officials said. Its disclosure threatens to anger Arab governments and others because of the appearance that the United States is actively aiding the Israeli bombing campaign in a way that could be compared to Iran's efforts to arm and resupply Hezbollah. The munitions that the United States is sending to Israel are part of a multi-million-dollar arms sale package approved last year that Israel is able to draw on as needed, the official said. But Israel's request for expedited delivery of the satellite and laser-guided bombs was described as unusual by some military officers and as an indication that Israel still had a long list of targets in Lebanon to strike. Now, I don't have to tell you how this information plays with Arabs. This is insane. Is there any wonder why they hate us? I'm not saying that the hate is irrational. Very little hate is. I guess if somebody comes up to you and murders your family and you hate them, I guess that's irrational hate. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's irrational. I don't know. I don't know anymore, and I frankly don't care. Hate is hate, and it erupts. But you know, when George Bush says they hate us because of we buy houses, the son of a bitch is so removed from reality as to render anything that comes out of his mouth just gibberish. This is why they hate us. This is one of the reasons. Now, as far as that's in the New York Times, Saturday and Friday's San Francisco Chronicle. It says, Israel's military response by air, land, and sea to what it considered a provocation last week by Hezbollah militants is unfolding according to a plan finalized more than a year ago. Gerald Steinberg, professor of political science at Bar-Ilan University, said of all of Israel's wars since 1948, this was the one for which Israel was most prepared. In a sense, Mr. Steinberg goes on, the preparation began in May 2000. Immediately after the Israeli withdrawal, when it became clear the international community was not going to prevent Hezbollah from stockpiling missiles and attacking Israel. End quote. And then the Chronicle says, more than a year ago, a senior Israeli army officer, now get this, more than a year ago, a single Israeli army officer, a senior Israeli army officer began giving PowerPoint presentations on an off-the-record basis to U.S. diplomats, journalists, and think tanks, setting out the plan for the current operation in revealing detail. Under the ground rules of the briefings, the officer could not be identified. Do you understand what I'm saying? People, the reason this is happening as fast as it is, because everybody's been in on it. Who had to be in on it? That would be the Bush administration, the right-wing think tanks in this country, the Israeli government. Here it is in the Chronicle. In his talks, the Israeli officer described a three-week campaign. The first week concentrated on destroying Hezbollah's heavier long-range missiles, bombing its command and control centers, and disrupting transportation and communication arteries. Now, disrupting transportation and communication arteries means the blowing up of Lebanese bridges, roads, dams, television stations, radio communications, radar installations, and killing hundreds of people in the process. Continuing here, in the second week, according to the Israeli senior officer, the focus will shift to attacks on individual sites of rocket launchers and weapons stores. In the third week, ground forces in large numbers will be introduced, but only in order to knock out targets discovered during reconnaissance missions as the campaign unfolds. There was no plan, according to this scenario, to reoccupy southern Lebanon for a long-term basis. And then the article goes on. You should read both of these. One at the San Francisco Chronicle, and the other one at New York Times. So I think it's very clear that the official story, that the capture of two Israeli soldiers by Hezbollah triggered this, is a lie. And it's a lie that the American media just is sucking on like you and I would suck on a lollipop. It's a lie. It's simply a lie. If you believe the New York Times, now the New York Times would probably be threatened again by the Bush crime family for revealing this information. But if you believe the Times, that the U.S. is acquiescing to Israel's request for a speed up of more death and destruction, son of a bitch, can you believe this? This is the United States. More death and destruction. Okay, sure, you got it. You got it. How much death and destruction you want? Huh? You want to overdraw your account? Okay, that's right. All right, now, the Chronicle story was posted at 7 p.m. tonight, Eastern Time. 7 p.m. tonight, Eastern Time. As of that time, this is what the Chronicle says. Since the fighting started, Israeli airstrikes on Lebanon have hit 1,255 targets, including 200 rocket launching sites. 200 from 1,255 is 1,055 targets that were not rocket launching sites, right? Okay. Hezbollah launched more than 900 rockets and missiles into northern Israel. At least 317 Lebanese have been killed, including 20 soldiers, Lebanese soldiers, and three Hezbollah guerrillas. Do you understand that? Three. That means 300 Lebanese civilians have been killed. Lebanese Prime Minister Fouad Sanyoura says 1,100 Lebanese have been wounded. 31 Israelis have been killed, among them 16 soldiers, which means 15 Israeli civilians are dead. At least 9 Israeli soldiers and 344 civilians have been wounded. Foreign deaths include 8 Canadians, 2 Kuwaiti nationals, 1 Iraqi, 1 Sri Lankan, and 1 Jordanian. It's pretty unbelievable. But I think for the sake of sanity. Or maybe not. Maybe for the sake of sanity, we need to continue to operate within the delusion. But if the truth will set someone free, I don't know who anymore. I don't know if the truth sets anyone free, regardless of what Martin Luther King said. If the truth sets us free, though, then let's go with the truth. This invasion, this incursion, whatever you want to call it, has been planned for over a year. And according to Mr. Steinberg, it's been planned for 6 years. And the United States government, without debate, without discussion, without advice and consent from any legislative body, is speeding up delivery of precision-guided missiles. Now, the precision-guided is a lie. Precision-guided missiles are what keep killing Iraqis when we use them. Entire families wiped out because of our precision-guided missiles. When Israel uses them, in the form of 23,000 tons, is that right? No, 23 tons, I'm sorry, 23 tons of ordnance, precision-guided ordnance, dropped on the headquarters of Hezbollah, and it turns out not to be the headquarters of Hezbollah at all. But it turns out instead, according to reports from Lebanon, if you can believe the lying Lebanese, turns out to be a not completed, completely built mosque. The hospitals are being blown up in Lebanon. There's a report tonight on one of the networks. I have no idea, but I watched it. Bodies now are being stacked in refrigerated trucks running on gasoline with refrigerated units. And according to, it was either CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, or MSNBC, half of the casualties, the corpses, are children. I don't know if that's the case of the 15 dead civilians in Israel. It is the case of the 300 dead civilians in Lebanon, if you can believe, once again, the reports coming from Lebanon. You see, I say that sarcastically. But, you know, we're Americans. We are supposed to discount what comes from the Arab press. We are supposed to discount what is reported, unless it comes from our embedded reporters, or, I guess, well not even from Israel. We don't even believe what comes from Israel. We only believe what comes from the reporters that the United States government can control. Isn't that something, huh?
Trouble, trouble, please be kind. I don't want no fight, and I haven't got a lot of time.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Such a desperate need for leadership here, all over the place, but here especially, and we have this half-wit jackass. Thanks to our engineers in New York tonight, Justin Yuen, and the return of our resident rock star, Jason Isaac. David Weissman answered your calls tonight. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch archives the program at whiterosesociety.org. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. And Catherine Day is the executive producer. Let's see if we can get in a few more phone calls. David is calling from Blaine, Washington. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. You know, the living dead are called necromancers.
Yeah.
You know, they are alive, you know, but they're dead
right.
in spirit. And these necromancers of these religious fundamentalist cult members, you know, whether they reside in America, Iran, or Israel, are truly suffering from a social disease, you know, of global proportions. Mm. And if they think for a second that they're pleasing their God, you know, or their Jesus or their Muhammad or whatever, you know, by their actions, you know, for preparing the ground for their return. I mean, it's incredibly insane. I mean,
it really pisses you off too, doesn't it?
And listening to those Bush sound bites, it's just almost unbearable to listen to because.
I know. And I know it pisses you off mightily because it does me too. I can't stand it. I can't stand to believe that in the beginning of the 21st century, all of this is all religious wars. I know. Yes. A lot of people think it's about the oil, or it's about hegemony, or it's about empire. And I'm beginning to believe that that's nonsense, that it's about it's religious wars. What's going
right.
on with the United States, Israel, the Arab, or the Muslim countries? This is religious bloodshed. That's what
right.
it's about.
And they're spinning the propaganda to try to sell their vision. And that's all it is. And we just have to help each other get through this and see through this violence and not let them get away with this for a second more.
Well, I hope it's the case.
We have the luxury from our vantage point to focus, you know, positive energy on this.
Well, if you believe in positive energy, I guess what you mean are
whatever it takes, you know.
Well, it may, you know, we're more like aren't we more like a herd of cattle that have the ability to think?
Well, some of us, yeah.
Where the next water hole is, but we're still cattle, you know, and there are people. Among us, there are cattle among us who don't give a damn who lives and who dies. I don't know. I used to believe in focusing positive energy on a situation in order to correct it or heal it, and I no longer do. That's how far down the food chain I've descended. I'm about on the same level now as single cell organisms.
We just have to rise up. Just try to help each other rise above it.
Okay, well, I hope.
It's insane, but we just have to figure it out.
All right. Thanks, David. Thanks for checking it. Wait a minute. Where's Blaine, Washington?
It's right in the corner of northwest corner of Washington State, right at the border to Canada.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good to hear from you. Thanks a lot.
I hope
you call again.
Just because you said single-cell organisms there, I have to tell everybody who's still awake and conscious and coherent, you've got to go to The Onion and look. It is the loudest laugh I've had in a week with their parody story about Bush and the stem cells interviewing the people on the street and the woman's comments that maybe he would support stem cell research if the stem cells were being used for torture.
TheOnion.com.
Instead of healing.
Yeah, probably so. Marshall is calling from New York. Marshall, welcome to the program.
I tell you, I'm very frustrated with the show tonight. Some of the people just went on and on for
I know. I'm sorry. My fault. I lost control. But here's the thing. You know, I let people talk a little bit longer than I normally do tonight because they just have to vent. What are you going to do?
No, it's not a criticism of you, Mike. You're the best. Actually, I just want to make the point now because I've been so frustrated trying to wait to say this to you. You know, the one thing that nobody mentioned tonight, which I think is the most important in this whole, even more so than the religious reasons and the political reasons, Mike, and that's this. Every nickel that they get from us in charity comes through defense credits and the defense contractors here. Every nickel, when that woman Lily and that guy Steve, they said, well, what are we getting out of it? There are people here that are getting everything out of it, Mike. We don't give Israel money. We give them billions of dollars in credits that they spend with American military contractors here. And I think once you look at that pattern, I honestly believe that that tells 90% of the story.
That's what we do with the Saudis, too.
We do this with every country that we...
Yeah.
That's why Americans can't make a rational decision sometimes, because they think we're so generous. Like, we're giving all these things away. It's not. We're taking American tax dollars and giving it to countries to come back and spend in defense corporations and construction corporations. And that's really what's happening. And I think that these are the people... So it's not like America's not getting anything out of it. There are people getting something out of it. And I think those are the ones that count.
Yeah, but you're not getting anything. Neither am I, except the possibility that our asses are going to be blown into
a million pieces. Oh, we're getting screwed. Oh no, we're getting screwed. But I'm saying that it's not just, you know, I'm saying it's not just irrationality.
Yeah.
These people are making money off of this.
I hear you.
I could be wrong, Mike. I don't know.
No. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Marshall, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Hope to hear from you again. To everybody that's still sitting there on hold, I'm sorry. We just ran out of time. All right. Hi.
You need a sharper ice pick.
No, I just let it roll on tonight. Miss the break producer here.
Hey, at least never mind.
I let it roll on tonight. We have a new rule. We're going to try to do 3-minute phone calls. Thanks for participating in the program all this week. It's been a rough week. Not for us, but for the rest of the world. I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Yeah. Have a good weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are. I can't even get up to say that. Oh, jeez.
Happy birthday, Molly.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.